Previously on Adventure.
Oi, there's a code you can plug into this here phone, and it's to restore me in some sort of way. I know there are four digits, but I don't know what they are.
Sammy, where did you find this phone?
As a local stamp collector, Joshua Peters.
I found it on a park bench. There are 8 park benches. There is what looks to be a little notebook on the ground. It is completely blank, save for 3 sets of numbers, I should say.
There are books that we need to go look up.
Julian's smart.
Yes.
The book is on the shelf, and it is The Prisoner of Zenda. And the card here has 2 names on it. Jasper Haust,
okay,
and Julian Wingate.
Julian, again, this happened before. What do you know about this that you're not telling us?
I'd love to know that myself.
All right, Zone of Truth.
Before you can cast Zone of Truth, you hear a voice from the stack say, "Dispatch them!" And then you see 3 very familiar faces appear. They are Thrace, Julian, and Redfield. Yet they appear off, angrier. More.
Now, do they look like us as we really are, or us as we are in disguise?
Us, they look how you really are.
Okay.
They're more feral than anything else. Think like evil robot usses.
Okay.
And they are running towards you. Sure.
So before we get into battle,
yep,
I just want to roll a history check.
Sure.
Because I want to try to see if these are creatures that, like, if they're like mimics of us or something. Mm-hmm. I want to see if I'm able to discern that from, yep, the way they're behaving. If I know, you know, these are the behaviors of a blah, blah, blah creature or whatever.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
All right. It's a 21.
Okay. So Redfield is able to perceive that, not sure how, not sure why, these are you.
Okay.
These are versions.
So these are versions of us.
These are versions of you.
Okay.
They're not
magical or
not yeah. It is not there's not an impersonation going on here or any sort of optical trickery. It's legit, you guys.
Pod people.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
So they're running to attack you.
Mm-hmm.
So are we rolling for initiative now?
Or you're the dungeon master.
I know. I will get more confident.
You
I
tell
will.
Me. Yes. I mean, are we starting a battle now?
Yes.
Okay, yes. Yeah.
And we see them coming, right? So no one really has any advantage. No.
Yeah. So they're running towards you.
This is a big library if they're running.
Yeah.
What'd you roll, Bobby?
8.
7. 16.
I am rolling. I also got 16.
So I guess you decide, right? You're Dungeon Master. You decide who gets go
probably
first.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, so it'll be them first.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to call them... We can call them bad.
Dark.
Dark Julian, Dark Thrace, and Dark Redfield are all running towards you. And believe it or not, Thrace is leading off with a warhammer going directly for Thrace's head. And I've rolled a 12, which is definitely not going to hit.
What's the attack bonus on your warhammer?
It is +5.
+5. So it's 7. You really rolled a 17.
Against the 22.
Against the 22.
Yeah. No, against a 19.
Yeah, against a 19.
But still, okay. You missed.
Yeah.
Yep, so that's a miss. And so Dark Thrace takes a swing, and she is right on target, but you do a little matrixy move.
I was just about to say, can I do a matrix move? Just bend over backwards.
Yeah, just kind of you know, do a little limbo, and you can feel the waft of air over your face as Thrace's face is saved.
Whew, so that's how that feels, huh?
Yep.
I should probably not be such an ass.
But then Redfield, Dark Redfield,
mm-hmm,
is going for regular Redfield. Okay. Regular Redfield?
Regular.
Just manager.
Just Redfield.
And he's got the sickle.
Okay.
And he is going to try and bisect you.
You love that.
I do. It's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be a diagonal.
Okay. Diagonal bisect?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
half of you.
Yeah, I get you.
All right.
Sort of like a Final Destination.
Yes. A slide. Yeah.
And he's rolled a 14. Which is
armor class is a 15. Sorry.
Yeah.
So the attack bonus.
Well, what's the attack bonus
8.
On? No, it can't be a +8. Which one do you?
The sickle.
Oh yeah.
Wow, you should start using that more often.
It's true.
Yeah.
It hits, And so yeah, that sickle comes slashing down. And this is a 1d4 plus 4.
Mm-hmm. It's not a very strong weapon. That's the problem.
Right.
Oh, okay, right. So yeah, it hits a lot, but it doesn't do
and
much
so that's
damage.
That's an 8 of damage. 1d4 plus 4.
Yeah. Fine.
So it wasn't that bad. So they should just be called shitty us. Not
So fake Julian is going after Julian Prime and is going to attempt the Ray of Frost.
And, that's one of my good ones.
And try and just stop you in your tracks there. So, yeah, you've got a 7 attack bonus, so that's a 17 against your armor class. That's a hit.
Yes, it is. I'm only at 14.
So this is going to be a 1d8. For the cold damage, and it's a 4. So, Ray of Frost, there's a little chill all over your body. It is not a pleasant feeling, but you're
moving around.
You're moving around. You're okay. And that brings us to Bob.
Guys, I think what we need to do is switch up opponents.
I think that's a great idea, Julian. And hell no, this is not happening right now. This is the real us. Get in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Set the world on fire, Julian.
Well, I think we're too evenly matched otherwise.
Julian, I think that's a really good idea. I want you to set the world on fire. Julian, go for all three of them.
Don't you have that crazy lightning bolt spell that like...
Oh, that's... Okay. How close are these enemies next in the spread?
So they all came out of the stacks together. Mm-hmm. So they're about 2 or 3 feet apart. As they're walking in a line mm-hmm. towards you, and of course they've separated off as they're doing their attacks, mm-hmm. but they're all within 3 to 4 feet of each other, and they're still all facing you.
Are they in the stacks or are they out of the stacks?
No, they're out of the stacks. They're in they're in the open area where Joshua's desk was.
Okay, so there's like an open area with the desk, and then there's the stacks behind them.
Yes.
Okay.
Three people, 4 feet apart, left to right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Lightning bolt.
Okay, destroy this library.
Okay.
It's a stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet long by 5 feet wide. Burst in a direction you choose, which I'm choosing mm-hmm. between those two.
Not going to matter because you're going to roll a 3.
He doesn't roll anything.
To roll anything.
You have
no,
to
I'm
roll.
Talking myself.
Oh, okay. Each creature in the line, so Dark Thrace and Dark Julian mm-hmm. have to make dexterity saving throws or take an 8d6 lightning damage.
Fire.
Actually, there's actually an extra 1d6 that goes with that.
Yeah, because you leveled up, right?
All right. So, this is Thrace's dex saving throw. Plus 3 is 17.
That failed. His is a 15, is like the number you had to beat for him. So it hits half of Thrace, but who's the other person who's getting it?
The other is Julian.
The other is Julian.
And that is a 15 plus 1.
Okay, so 16. So both of them save, but they get half the damage? Is that what happens?
Yes.
Okay, so there you go.
You roll, I'll keep
track. We'll tabulate. Go ahead.
That's a 6.
Mm-hmm.
1. 2. I'm moving upwards. 5.
Okay, like that.
3. 3. 2. Not good. 4. Better. 5.
That's
4.
That's it. 29.
So 14 and a half points of damage rounded up.
Yeah, you round up.
15. 15 apiece.
Yeah. How much health do you have, by the way?
55.
What's your max health, pup? Like, you took some damage here, but what's...
Yeah, I'm down to 12.
There's no way you're down to 12.
You started out anew, right?
You started out anew.
Yeah,
oh.
Started out
so whatever
new
your max
today.
Was originally.
Yeah, which is 42.
42, right? Yeah. So you took, like, 4 damage?
10.
Took 10 damage, so you're at 32?
Yeah.
No, I'm just doing this because if I'm tabulating this correctly, Dark 3 should be down to 40 now, and Dark Julian should be down to 27.
Yeah.
I mean, I will not confirm or deny, but...
right.
But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Redfield's worked this out.
It's the one time you get to know that.
Yeah, exactly.
Advantage.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Fighting yourself. Disadvantage.
Okay. Yes.
All right.
It is Jackie's turn.
Jackie.
Okay. What shall I do? I'm going to hit them with the Warhammer.
Hit fake Julian. He's got to be really weak.
Yeah. Exactly. I am.
He's really weak armor wise, but he's very strong spell attack wise.
I'm gonna try and take out Julian in like one fell swoop here. So I get two attacks, and then I have my action surge, which I will use. So that's three attacks.
That's three attacks.
And then I have one of, all right, so one of those, I'll use the Inferno Bomb.
You would use your action.
So
that'd
be one of my actions will be the Inferno Bomb. So then I'm down to two attacks, but with the Inferno Bomb.
Yeah.
What damage does the Inferno Bomb do?
It adds a D4 to your Warhammer. Okay. But you get two attacks
plus
in each of those two attacks because you have both.
Right.
Yes, because I have the Bracer of Badassness.
Yeah, so you're holding two melee weapons at
the
same
time. I'm holding the Dragon Glaive and the Warhammer.
Yeah, yeah. So really it's four.
Yeah. So, kiss your ass goodbye, fake Julian.
Well, yeah, let's do the one on Julian. You gotta roll a d20 for the attack.
Okay. Oh, yeah, see if I actually hit him with any... Yeah, all right. That would be a 6, plus my attack bonus.
Yeah.
4. 5. 11. Plus 5. So 11. I'm going after Julian.
Right.
Fake Julian.
He's gotta have an armor class higher than 11.
14.
Okay.
It's 14, yes. That does not hit.
So your first attack misses.
So my first attack misses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which means her first two attacks miss.
Yeah.
So I'm swinging wildly.
Right.
Yeah. And a 15.
Okay.
That hits.
Possible. Right. Yeah. So that hits. So now I get to do 1d10 damage with my Dragon Glaive first.
Okay.
So 1d10 damage. Oh, a 1.
Mm-hmm.
I tickled you with the Dragon Glaive.
Yeah, 1. And 1d8 plus 4. Yeah. 1d8 plus 8.
It's 1d8 plus
4.
8.
No, 1d8 plus 4, and then a d4.
And then a d4. Yeah, okay, yeah. So 1d8 plus 4. And so a 6 plus 4 is 10.
10, and then roll a d4.
And then a d4.
Yeah.
2.
Yeah.
So 12. So 13 points of damage. Ugh, not as much as I could have done.
All right, so Dark Julian says,
"You're not getting off that easy."
Now it's Bobby.
So
I'm going to eat a donut and sit back and watch this one.
I'm going to cast Insect Plague. It lasts for 10 minutes. Okay.
Oh, the locusts, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Swarming, biting locusts fill a 20-foot radius sphere centered on a point you choose within range. The sphere spreads around corners. The sphere remains for the duration, and its area is lightly obscured. The sphere's area is difficult terrain. When the area appears, a creature in it must take a constitution saving throw. A creature takes 4d10 piercing damage on a failed save, half as much damage on a successful one. A creature must also make this saving throw when it enters the spell's area for the first time on a turn or ends its turn there. At higher levels, when you cast this spell using a spell slot of 6th level or higher, damage increases by 1d10 for each spell slot above 5th. But I'm casting this as a 5th, so it's going to be 4d10s.
Or half that.
Or half that, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be everybody. All three of them have to make it.
Correct.
It's 20 foot
radius. You're aiming at the middle.
Yeah. But I'm making sure that the front of it is far enough away from us where we don't have to worry about it.
Yep.
But just so you guys know, if you go in there to engage with them, you're going to make a saving throw.
So Dark Julian's saving throw is a 16.
That saves.
Thrace's saving throw is a 17.
Saves.
And Redfield's saving throw is 13.
That fails.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're going after yourself.
Yeah.
So, but, I mean, they still take...
And so Dark Redfield takes out a cigarette and lights it and says,
"Do your worst."
8. 2. 5. 10.
So 25?
8, 2, yeah.
25.
Yeah,
25. Yep. 8,
okay.
2, 5, 10.
So 13 for the two of them and 25 for you.
Yeah, yeah. So 13 for the other two? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Just Julian dead yet?
Just missed killing Julian. Literally, if you had rolled a 2 on your Dragon Glaive,
that's true. So Dark Redfield, Dark Julian, Dark Thrace are all now surrounded by these locusts, and Dark Julian is on his knees, huffing and puffing and wheezing and
please say peeing himself,
and absolutely urinating himself. And Dark Julian says, "Oh no!" Doesn't look like he's gonna be able to do much. Dark Redfield and Dark Thrace just look pissed off and mildly confused about what's been happening to them. So Dark Redfield says,
"Try this on for size."
And he's using the Dagger of Venom.
Okay.
And covered in locusts, he's leaving his, you know, that 20-foot area and rushing at Redfield. It seems like they're just going to be programmed to attack their own at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But Redfield, as he has the Dagger of Venom out and rolls a 15 plus a 7 attack bonus, that's going to hit. So it's 1d4 plus 3 piercing damage, which is going to be a 5. And he takes that dagger and sticks it right in between your ribs.
Ouch!
Dark Redfield says,
"Stick around!"
Dark Julian is barely breathing. He's actually gotten the brunt of these locusts. Like, you can't really see much of his features anymore. He is encased in locusts. But now he's going to use his last bit of energy for the vampiric touch. It has a 7 attack bonus and 3d6 damage. So for vampiric touch, the touch of your shadow-wreathed hand can siphon force from others to heal your wounds. Make a melee spell attack against a creature within your reach. On a hit, the target takes 3d6 necrotic damage, and you regain hit points equal to half the amount of the necrotic damage dealt.
Okay. So your spellcasting modifier is your intelligence. So what's your intelligence boost?
Plus 3.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you add it. It's just like rolling an attack. You add 3 to it.
Right.
Okay.
And here we go. Is a 16.
Oh, boy. That hits.
That hits.
So roll that 3d6 necrotic.
So?
5.
No, not you.
I do.
Him.
Oh, okay. So
that's 11 damage to real Julian,
yeah,
and 6 hit points back, right, to Dark Julian.
Right.
That's not that many.
Yeah. It is when you have one.
Yeah.
And shitty Julian strikes again.
It's true.
It's Dark Thrace's turn.
Dark Thrace, okay.
And Dark Thrace goes right for real Thrace.
With
the Warhammer, because Thrace has one move.
I was going to say, yeah, look at you branching out when you criticize me for not branching out.
Yeah, but these creatures are more mindless than you.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah. So Dark Thrace is going to attempt to... There's a wind-up going on, and she is attempting to kind of uppercut you in the nether region, if you will.
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, and that attack is coming right now. And it is a 2.
She kicks herself in the forehead.
That's very balletic
pretty
move.
Pretty yeah. much. As she winds up and she goes for it. And you have a second Matrix move. And this one is kind of a hop over Thrace. So the Warhammer does indeed hit herself in the face. And I'm going to make that award damage.
Yes.
Yeah. So the Warhammer is 1d8 plus 4. 8 plus 2, 12. Own goal.
I'm just standing there shaking my head like, wow, really?
Mm-hmm. And that's it for the enemies. It goes right back to Bob.
How close are these? They're still...
Yeah, what do they do?
Yeah, did they go back?
Oh, yeah,
what
was their
out?
Action there?
Right, so they all moved towards you for these attacks, and they're out of the locust area.
Okay. So even fake Julian...
Fake Julian's still there because he attempted to use the spell while he was still...
Okay. So Fake Julian needs to make a constitution saving throw again.
Yes.
Every time they're in there, they have to do it.
Got it.
They're in... It's constant damage if they're not in there.
Got it. 15.
It's a save.
Safe?
Yeah. But they still take another... he takes...
Half.
4d10 again, so I gotta roll the d10s again. All
right.
5. 10. 8.
23. 23.
9.
Oh,
wow.
32.
32. 32.
In
16.
Half.
16.
16. So. Bye-bye! So, as the locusts completely overwhelm Julian, and they're going inside of his mouth, and they're eating out of his stomach.
I've seen this movie.
Yeah. And he is reduced to nothingness. They've eaten him whole. He is gone. His essence is gone. And in that same moment, as soon as he disappears, so does Julian.
Whoa.
Oh,
shit.
Regular Julian, real Julian, who's just standing there minding his own business after Redfield has vanquished his dark doppelganger, disappears into nothingness.
Uh-oh.
Leaving...
Is it my go?
It's been mine, but I'm not here anymore.
Yeah, it would be Bob, but he's gone.
Do I say something on my way out the door?
You can say whatever you like.
Oh, that hurts.
All right, as soon as I see this happen, I'm going to use my Warhammer and my Acme High Striker.
Okay.
It's 50 feet of propulsion when I strike it on the ground. And the idea is I'm going to smack it on the ground and Dark Redfield and Dark Thrace are going to go flying backwards to give me and Redfield enough time to be like, what the hell? What do we do?
I'm not following. So you're in a room
yes.
that has a ceiling.
Yes. 50 feet of propulsion that way.
She's trying to, instead of propelling herself,
knocking on the ground.
Yes. And knocking herself up in the air, she's trying to, like,
knock them
back.
I'm trying to give us time to look at each other and be like, oh my God, okay. What the hell are we going to do?
Okay.
Because Julian just disappeared.
Sure.
So what do I do to see if it works, or can I just do it? It doesn't cause any damage.
No.
It's concussive.
It is an attachment for your Warhammer, so you just have to equip it and do a regular attack because you are attacking them.
Okay, all right. So yes. I still need to roll to see if it works and throws them back.
You still need to hit them.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. It's 2-7. Yeah, so I miss completely.
Yep.
Right, so that was my first attempt, and they don't go anywhere. So now...
No, they're not close enough together. I mean, are you trying to aim it so you knock
like
one into the
it.
Other?
No, I'm trying to slam it on the ground just to throw them back 50 feet.
That's not what it would do, though.
Ugh.
It gives you vertical propulsion.
Okay, so it's just me that's going up?
No, when you hit it on the ground, you bounce 50 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you're hitting somebody...
Right.
What it would do is it would not knock them back 50 feet. It would knock you back 50 feet.
Oh, all right. Can I get a little bit of a mulligan on that one then?
You absolutely may.
All right, in that case...
I should have described that better.
I jump on Redfield's back.
All right. So in that case, the first thing I'm going to do is Blade Ward, which is a cantrip on myself. And it's just basically, it means I have resistance until the next end of the next turn. I have resistance against bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing.
Okay.
So basically trying to protect myself from myself.
Sure.
Not that I need to at this point because she's missed every single time.
That's
but
true.
Still. So that's my first action is that. And now I'm going to, so I'm going to try this one this time. A first level enchantment called Sleep. I'm going to attempt to put them both to sleep.
Okay.
It's a range of 90 feet. So they're within it.
Yep.
It's a duration of a minute, and it's one action.
And what saving throw?
Well, on the bottom of my thing, it says C manual. So
this is the thing.
I didn't know he was playing.
This is the thing where she has to roll, and it has to what she rolls has to be equal to the remaining hit points to put them to sleep.
Okay, so here we are.
I'm pretty sure.
So this spell sends creatures into magical slumber. Roll 5d8s. The total is how many hit points of creatures this spell can affect. So creatures within 20 feet, which is easy, you go in ascending order. So say they have 30 hit points and I roll... say they have 30 between them, like 20 and 10.
Sure.
And I roll 20. Well, the first one will go to sleep, but the second one won't. You know, okay. I think that's how it works.
So whoever has the most hit points takes the
goes
brunt
first.
Of it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Starting with the creature that's the lowest current hit points.
Oh, okay.
All right,
each creature falls unconscious until the spell ends. The sleeper takes damage, or someone uses an action to wake them up. So they're asleep until someone does something to them for the duration of a minute. Subtract each creature's hit points from the total before moving on to the next creature. A creature's hit points must be equal to or less than the remaining total for that creature to be affected.
All right.
Okay. And undead and creatures immune to this aren't affected, but I'm assuming...
They're not undead,
right?
Right.
Okay. So I'm going to roll 5d8s.
Yes, you are.
2, 3, 5, that's 10, 14, 22.
Just puts Dark Thrace to sleep.
So she's asleep now until one of us touch her, hit her, or, you know.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Redfield Shortbush himself, Bobby Shortle, coming to you with this episode's intermission, is to unfortunately once again apologize for our delays and our lack of episodes. It's literally my least favorite thing in the entire world, us missing weeks, us delaying weeks, and we've had to do it too many times over the last couple of months, and I just really, really want to apologize to you all for that. Just no excuses, honestly. There's a lot of life stuff going on, but we owe you these episodes. I think of it as sort of a pact between us. You give us your listening time, we give you episodes on time. We're making some changes in the back end to try to make this a little bit of a smoother process. Not totally sure what that's going to be. I'm not ready to announce what those things are yet, but they're coming, and we should be smooth and back on track very, very soon. We have another episode already sort of going through the sound effects process and sound layering process with Justin right now. So we have another episode for sure. We just recorded another, and we have another date to record again. So we should be back on track. And I promise this time around, if we're going to be delayed, I will let you know beforehand. I mentioned Justin. I want to give a huge, huge, huge thank you to him. Excuse me. Sorry. When Brian and I have failed to be on time, Justin has always been on time, and I just want to say a huge thank you to him. The show would not be the same without him. It's been pretty amazing to see all the work that he's done and continued to do, even when things have lagged on our end. So a big thank you to him. Part of what he uses to make his mixes and his effects work sound so good is Tabletop Audio and BattleBards, which you can use for a game like this where you're actually recording and doing like a show, or just in your own personal game. I know Justin, in fact, has used it in his own personal game before. They're great for that. You can follow us at D&D Adventure on Twitter, or email us adventure@talkingcomicbooks.com. Please keep leaving us iTunes reviews. We will get back to doing some Henley Reads Your iTunes reviews very soon once we get a new batch in. So please keep sending those in, and we'll be able to record a new batch of those.
Justin here with a quick editor's note. We actually did get enough transmissions from Henley that I could piece together a Henley Read segment for this episode. I think I have a couple more to go. But I did notice that we're getting a lot more reviews, so appreciate that. So here it is, and then I'll let Bobby take you out and back into the episode.
Hello, it's me, Henley, Lil Pete, Henley Lil Pete. I just want to share with you some nice things and some not nice things have been said about our show. Dallas Gibson says, I do not play D&D. I have never played D&D. And getting my pals to sit down for a game is impossible. However, I enjoy RPG video games and really enjoy hearing this fun group learn the game and embark on their adventure. I'm learning a lot from this podcast, and though it may be information that I will never use, it puts a smile on my face. Great work, team. Thanks for the entertainment. Olind, 1972, said, I'm up to episode 29 and loving this podcast. I've played on and off for close to 30 years. These episodes make me want to start playing again. I love the interplay between Henley and Thrace and Julian. It's awesome. Although I will love finding out his real backstory. Bobby, you do awesome work, and no adventure goes the way you plan it out. The players always throw a wrench in the gears, but you handle it nicely. Justin Riley does an awesome job on the sound effects and music. I did not realize what we have been missing, playing without audio. You got me through a lot of road trips. Keep up the good work, guys. Oh no, this is a long one. It's got 5 stars though, so I'm going to read it. Gildas, 17, says it's incredibly fun and informative. I've always wanted to play Dungeons & Dragons, but never had the people around me to make it happen. With the current surge of 80s nostalgia, D&D is creeping up from the dank underworld of wood-paneled basements into the mainstream imaginations of our new generation. And in my dream of finally participating in a quest inches closer. Here is one such podcast that allows me to learn the game without the pressures of Snickers, of seasoned dungeon masters and players alike. How are you still going on? All right, listening to some of my favorite podcast folk jump into this intense and complex world with their special brand of wit and humor has shown me it is possible to enjoy this nerds game on the most basic level possible. I don't need to assemble the scant members of my local comic shop to summon the magic of the collaborative experience D&D creates. I can make it my own with friends who make the experience together. The production level of this podcast with soundscapes and SFX only further my enjoyment of listening, and it's paced perfectly, unlike this, with cliffhangers that leave me laughing out loud and wanting more. Bobby, Mara, Jackie, Bob, Brian, continue to forge this new path, as wayward and fraught with hijinx as it might be. You'll always have a listener on the other side, cheering, laughing, screaming, and even shedding a tear as you blaze forth into the fray, unto dawn, quest to quest, into adventure. All right, that's it for me for now, but I'll give you some more reviews later. But I can only do it if you give us more. Now, will I be happy if they're 5 stars? Maybe. Maybe not. I'm hungry. I'm gonna go find some jerky. You all have a good time out there. But not too good of a time. I don't know what I'm saying. I'll just let one out. See y'all next time.
Yeah, and just leave us your feedback in general on Twitter. Talk to us. Let us know what you're thinking of the show, how you're feeling about characters, how you're feeling about plot. We want to know, so please, please let us know. Until then, though, I'm going to stop blabbling on. Let's get back to this episode. I will see you guys and gals next time. Before we do that,
yeah.
I'm going to cast Calm Emotions. All right? So you attempt a suppress strong emotions in a group of people. Each humanoid in a 20-foot radius sphere centered on a point you choose within range must make a charisma saving throw. A creature can choose to fail the saving throw if it wishes. If a creature fails its saving throw, choose one of the following two effects. I can suppress any effect causing a target to be charmed or frightened, or I can make a target indifferent about creatures of your choice that it's hostile towards.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Okay.
So you have to make a charisma saving throw. I'm shooting this in the middle of both of them. Only one of them is awake.
So Redfield's the only one that's going to matter.
Right, but so yes. So, I mean, you have to choose. Like, it could...
And it doesn't do any damage.
There's no damage.
So it's not going to wake Dark Thrace up.
Yeah. No damage. It could automatically charm Dark Thrace because she has no resistance at the
moment. Exactly.
Okay.
She can be charmed, but she can't be
woken. We'll roll for both of them. So first one up...
I would maybe give Dark Thrace disadvantage on it because she's not conscious.
That's exactly what I was just about to do. Well, I'm not going to need much more for disadvantage here.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 and an 8, so that works for on...
Did you roll for Redfield?
No, I'm doing that now. 10 plus 3 is 13.
Failed.
Okay. All right, so that was your move, so now it's theirs.
Yeah.
But they can't... So not doing anything for a minute.
Okay. All right, so what the hell are we supposed to do?
What is going on, Redfield?
So we gotta knock him out?
Yeah.
Not kill him.
Right, exactly. So Thrace is asleep, but she's not going to stay like that forever.
Mm-hmm.
And Redfield is...
Wait a second. Where is Joshua? Or where is... What's his real name?
Oh, Jasper.
Jasper
housed at this point.
He has been in the corner the entire time watching.
Right.
All right.
Basically Mr. Burnsing it.
Okay. So let's get this fucker.
Yes. Absolutely. Jasper, we're coming for you.
Yeah. So I think it's your turn again, right? Because they weren't gonna do anything.
Well, one's asleep and one was indifferent for that. So
So is my
turn.
Did you
just play an Uno skip card on me, sir?
So it's my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
Redfield, what should I do? Should I just attack him?
I think we need answers more than we need to attack him.
Right. So I guess I am going to try and go run to him. I'm going to run to him really quick. And I'm going to grab him by the throat. Which I guess kind of classes as an unarmed attack, which I have a bonus for. So I get a +3 on an unarmed strike.
Okay.
So I'm going to run over and I'm going to grab him by the throat.
If you're trying to do an action to me, but it's not damage based.
Right.
I'm calling that a strength contest.
Okay. Well, it's going to be two pronged. I get two actions and we're in combat. So what I'm going to say is my first action will be to grab him by the neck. And my second action will be to punch him in the face, an unarmed strike.
Okay.
So the second one is intending on causing damage. That's not fine. Death, okay. But damage.
Okay.
So
the first one I don't need to roll to see if I hit. I'm just seeing
if
I'm
you
doing
can,
it.
If you can grab him by the throat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So a d20 plus your strength modifier.
So it's an 18.
Oh, God.
Plus 4, so yeah, okay. That'd be 22. Okay.
I've rolled a 4.
All right, so I'm going to run over there and I've grabbed Jasper by the neck.
Okay.
And then my next one is I'm going to punch him in the face.
All right.
So an unarmed strike. Oh, it's a 5 plus.
So it doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't really matter. All right, so I'm gonna spin this in the best way I can. Mm-hmm. I am going to punch the wall right next to his head, because technically I missed, but...
Right. But you want the anger to show.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Sure.
So, there you go. I missed, but I punched the wall right next to his face.
Now there's two things are going on. One is that Dark Thrace has woken up, because it's been over a minute.
Okay.
And Dark Redfield no longer is indifferent to you guys.
Okay.
But now Jasper is involved.
And I have Jasper by the throat right now. Yeah. Redfield, over to you.
Right. So I'm just painting the picture.
Yeah. So I'm going to try Geese again.
Okay.
On Jasper.
Okay.
All right. It's a wisdom saving throw.
15.
Oh, that's a fail then.
So Geese has failed.
Geese!
Okay.
All right.
Dark Thrace is going to head over to Thrace and Jasper and attempt to separate them.
Okay. Is she going to attack me or attempt to separate?
She is just going to attempt to separate. You ready?
Yeah, go.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
14.
I don't know if that was another 17. I'm like, hit it again. But it'll be a 1. That's fine.
14.
All right.
Meh. Yeah. I'm just going to flick her away.
Because she's running at you. You know, kind of arms out, yeah. Ready to just, you right. know.
Actually, I'm just going to do a Bruce Lee move. Move one leg up. Stop right there.
And yeah, she completely misses. But Dark Redfield has another idea. And Dark Redfield is going to attack using Inflict Wounds. But Dark Redfield is attacking Dark Thrace.
Oh, Dark Thrace.
Oh, whoa.
Oh.
What? Huh.
Sweet.
So, rolling. I've rolled a 10 plus a attack bonus of 14, and that does not hit. Wait, yeah. That does not hit.
The attack bonus is 14?
No, I said the attack bonus is 4.
Oh, okay. I was like, jeez.
No. And that does not hit. So Dark Redfield's attempt to inflict wounds on Dark Thrace has failed.
Okay.
And now it is... Jackie's turn.
Just regular old Thrace.
Okay,
turn.
So now Thrace is confused as to what's going on. Yeah. So Thrace is just going to do Blade Ward again. Because I'm just standing here looking at Redfield going, what the hell? So I hit myself with Blade Ward for my first move. Now, what does Ralph the Rabbit do? He blows up, right?
He does.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Only when he's killed.
Only when he's
That's
killed.
True. Oh, yeah, you have to stamp on him.
Right.
Yep. So sad. All right, I'm not going to blow
or
up Ralph.
Or eat him.
Yes, or eat him. Yeah. So, would you like some rabbit?
Your grace.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Bobby, what's your armor class?
15.
I'm going to throw a little more confusion into the mix and
see
what happens.
Perfect.
Okay. So I have the cannon fodder amulet.
Ooh, that's right, that's right.
So I'm going to throw that out there because it doesn't do much or take much, but it will be interesting to see what happens when you throw another target in the mix.
All right.
So basically I just use it and it brings up a spectral warrior who has 6 HP and 1 D10 attack damage. So I'm going to use that as my second action and I'm just going to summon him. So now you have a spectral warrior. Which
like
is
like
a
Halo when you have your own.
Yeah, the fake guy, because this one can actually attack.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my spectral warrior is standing there, and I don't think I... Well, at what point does she get a move?
Right now.
Straight away.
Yeah.
And so I've summoned my spectral warrior, and she is going to...
What's her name?
Her name is Richard.
All right, so what's Dick's move here?
She is going to attack Redfield.
Okay.
Which Redfield?
Oh, fake Redfield.
All right.
1d10 attack damage. Right. So I have to roll to see if I even hit him.
I am confused.
It's a 7 plus a 4 is 11.
That does not hit.
All right, good. So I'm just my spectral warrior, the wonderful Amazon goddess called Richard, is standing there right now.
Okay, good.
All right, it is Bobby's turn.
All right. I want to see what happens. So
they're attacking each other.
They were attacking each other.
Yeah.
Much like what you did. I'm going to cast Spiritual Weapon. You create a floating spectral weapon within range that lasts for the duration or until you cast the spell again. When you cast the spell, you can make a melee spell attack against a creature within 5 feet of the weapon. On a hit, that target takes force damage equal to 1d8 plus your spellcasting modifier. As a bonus action on your turn, you can move the weapon up to 20 feet and repeat the attack against a creature within 5 feet of it. The weapon can take whatever form you choose. So I'm going to cast this spiritual weapon, and I'm just going to leave it at the ready.
All right.
And I'm going to send it out behind Dark Redfield, like waiting behind Dark Redfield. And then I'm going to pause. I'm not going to attack.
All right.
Okay.
So now Jasper is still being held by the throat, but his arms are free. And he reaches behind him to his waistband and pulls out a black item, puts it to his temple, and pulls a trigger. It's a gun, which you've never seen before, and he blows his head off, and Joshua Peters disappears.
Whoa, the hell is going on here? But Dark Thrace and Dark Redfield are still there?
Yeah, and it's now their turn. So, Dark... They're also very confused because they went from not caring about anything to having a little siesta. But Dark Thrace will be up first, and she's actually going after Thrace. She's still programmed to do that, or so it seems, because she hasn't hit you once.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And she's going after you with a Warhammer. She's swinging it in a Thor-like fashion, this time more horizontal than the vertical swing she was doing last time. And
she lets go, and it flies off in the other direction.
And she rolls a 3, and she actually loses her Warhammer. It flies out of her hand and goes crashing through the window of the Chicago Public Library, and you just hear faintly in the distance, "Ow."
I thought you were going to say, and you hear it fall down every single one of those 112 steps outside.
Yeah, onto Wabash Avenue or whatever.
Dark Redfield still has something in his mind, and as Thrace is looking at her lost Warhammer, very confused about what just happened to her, Dark Redfield is going to use the Inflict Wounds yet again, sneaking up behind Dark Thrace, not attacking the real ones, attacking Dark Thrace, and I just rolled a 3 again.
Just stare at it until it changes, Brian.
I rolled a 3 again.
So that does not hit.
Oh, I feel sorry. These dark evil beings have you rolling for them. All right, who's going?
And it's Jackie's turn.
Okay. Redfield, I'm getting worried about this. What do I do? If he takes out Dark Thrace, where am I going to go?
As long as it's not me.
Oh, you are just the worst. So Jasper's dead on the floor in front of me.
Jasper is gone as well.
So Jasper and Joshua both poof disappeared.
Right. I mean, he offed himself in front of you, but then disappeared. Yeah.
Redfield, where do you think they're going?
I don't know. Oh, we don't have time to talk about this.
I don't want to kill myself. Oh, Jesus. Right, you know what? I'm going to take a risk on the fact that if he did that and they both disappeared, maybe they're going to a nice place. Maybe I'll go there too. Right. I'm going to attack Dark Thrace with a Warhammer.
All right. Tell me what you're doing.
I'm just going to start. I'm turn around because I'm not holding Jasper by the throat anymore.
Correct.
So I'm just going to turn around and smack her right in the side of the head with the Warhammer.
All right.
Because she's really annoying me now. She's just like, honestly, she's making me look real bad at this point.
She's a very ineffective warrior.
Yeah. I rolled a 6. Awesome. Plus 4. That's obviously not going to hit.
No, it's not.
Maybe your second attack, though.
Oh, yeah, my second attack. All right. Oh, a 17. All right. So, 17.
Plus
5.
Yeah. That's a hit.
That's a hit.
Okay, so I'm going to smack with the Warhammer, which is 1d8 plus 4. 3, 7. 7 points
plus
damage.
Plus a d4.
Oh, plus a d4.
For your Burn a Bomb. Plus your other guy, your Dragon Glaive. I mean,
okay. So that's 7, 10, and my Dragon Glaive is 1d10. 5.
So you 15. Take your Warhammer and you wind up and hit her in the side of the head and knock her head clean off.
That's how you do it, bitch.
Your last words.
As I go, poof, out of existence.
And you watch her body disintegrate as you're, and you just disappear. The race is gone.
It's just my turn.
It's your turn.
And the cheese stands alone.
Oh, Dark Redfield and Redfield high five.
It's like at the end of Scott Pilgrim when like they're talking at the end. They're like, oh yeah, let's go. So Redfield picks up the gun that Joshua used to shoot himself in the head.
Yeah.
Picks it up, puts it against his own head, and shoots himself in the head.
And Dark Redfield is gone, and so is regular Redfield. And it's a very familiar Neverwinter pub that you see yourself in. And you hear her in the down the bar. Oi, what took you so long?
Oh, God.